But I want to look at two sections of scripture, mostly from 1 Thessalonians 1 and 2 Thessalonians 1. You did pass on the scriptures, great. And let's just read from 1 Thessalonians 1. And this was a word that came to Andrew Selly, who planted Josh in nearly 21 years ago now. We're in our 21st year of existence as a church. And this is one of the words that the Lord gave Andrew to be a model church. To the church of Thessalonians, of the Thessalonians in God, the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. What translation are you in? Oh, you guys are in the Spirit. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's so powerful, eh? You know, the Bible says you mustn't just read scripture, you must meditate on it. And forget the Hindu meditation version. Christians, we should own everything. Don't forget about New Age words and that. They're ours. Okay, everything belongs to God. So we call to meditate. So your word meditate means you actually consider and go through it and weigh it up and let it process into your spirit. Because the word is seriously powerful. And we've got to allow it to sink into our spirits. And that portion of scripture is very, very powerful. Verse 4, for we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you. Isn't that wonderful? That he chose us first. Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us, someone who follows and copies, and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. So we see that the Thessalonians church, through much trial and suffering, became a model church. And we all know that models represent something. You know, you get models out on the ramp and they're wearing the latest clothing and they don't pick ugly people. They pick the perfect-looking people and what people would consider the perfect-looking people, and they let them walk down to demonstrate what should be, what is the epitome of good clothing and good-looking. And likewise, in terms of the church, God's looking for healthy churches that will represent him well, that if people look upon and gaze upon us and they come into our midst, they will see Jesus. They will experience him because we've become models of Jesus. We are seriously modeling what he wants us to become and look like. And so the question we're going to ask this morning is, how do we look? Would you want people to imitate your walk with God? Can you say, like Paul says, you know, imitate us as we imitate Christ? I'm going to look at that scripture in a moment. Would you encourage people to do that? No, look at me in my life, you know, as I imitate Christ. And can we say it with confidence? And we should be able to. That's the good news, that you should be able to say that. That, folks, look at me. Don't bypass me. And don't point people to Jesus, because in 1 John 4:20 it says, how can you say that you love God you've never seen? Very few people have seen that, had visions of Jesus, and have walked. I don't know, I haven't walked with Jesus. Only the early apostles, the early church did actually walk and see Jesus. But the rest of us are on faith that God spoke to our spirit, lifted a veil, and we see Jesus in the spirit realm. But in terms of, hey, if you ask me to follow Jesus right now, I don't know where he is. So the Bible says in 1 John 4:20, it says, how can you say you love God who you've never seen if you can't love man who you can see? So always, if you want to know someone's vertical relationship with God, always look at their horizontal relationship with the church and their brothers and sisters and their relationship to anything, actually. Anything. Their careers, their children, their families, their sport, whatever's in front of them this way and what you're experiencing in this life, and how you handle it and how you deal with it will be a representation of your heart towards God. It's quite an interesting thing to consider. Because we want to be those who model Jesus well as a church. And I believe in many ways this church, this congregation, is modeling the strength of Jesus and the life of Jesus. But you know, there's always more, and God's always leading us and drawing us towards more. And he says they only became a model after they'd been through certain stuff. What they had to deal with things, then they became a model. They weren't automatically a model just by the virtue of the fact that they are a church, they exist. But because of the way they'd lived their lives. And 1 verse 6 said that the Macedonians, they'd copied the Macedonians and Achaia. There are others even ahead of them that they had copied and modeled their lives on. One Corinthians 4, verse 14 to 17. If you could put that up for me, please. Have you got it, or shall I start reading it? 1 Corinthians 4, verse 14. I'm not writing this to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I'm sending to you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who's faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in church. So even Paul didn't say, no, don't look at me. I'm just a miserable little sinner saved by grace. You know, don't look at me. Just look at Jesus. He didn't do that. He said, become imitators of me. And even my spiritual son, Timothy, I'm sending him to you, and he will remind you of my way of life. He will. He will tell you, hey, Paul lives his life like this. This is how he serves God. He's totally sold out. Everything he's laid down. Paul was very high in the previous life before he got saved. He was very, very high up in ranking, but yet he gave up all that to serve the Lord Jesus. And likewise with us, can we say to people, imitate me as I imitate Christ? Look at my life. Model. So when we go to unbelievers, they're going to say, well, where's Jesus? You should be able to say, well, he's in here. His spirit lives in me. And my life has been changed so dramatically that you should see Jesus in me. You should be drawn to Jesus because of my life. I had that a weird experience when I first got saved. As the Spirit of God worked through me into a good friend of mine. He was a surfer dude. And we were walking down the street. We were going to go and buy a pair of shoes. And then when we got home, I started speaking to him about the Lord Jesus. And he said, you know what? As we walked down the street, there was something flowing out of you into me, and I just felt convicted. He didn't use words like that because he didn't know what those words were, but I'm using it to explain here. I just felt like there's something wrong in my life. I didn't say a word. We were talking about shoes. I said, that's the Holy Spirit convicting you. He said, what must I do? I said, you need to get saved. He said, okay, how do I do that? I said, well, let's go on our knees. Let's go on our knees and let's ask the Lord to come into your life. So he did, and he gave his life to Jesus. And I really believe that wherever we go, it becomes a holy place. You need another holy place, by the way. I mean, it's pretty obvious. Everyone must already say it when they come here. But we had the same problem when we were in Durbanville. We were in a little hall like this, and we were seriously frustrated. We called it kulula.com because, you know, you're so cramped up in the seats. The guy on the front row could shake hands with the guy on the back row. And so we really begged God, and we were scouring, and suddenly an incredible building, which we've been in now for 8 years, opened up to us. So believe in the God of miracles. I really believe. Father, I pray now for this congregation that you will open up a massive door for them in terms of property and a place to meet, Lord, as you will. And Father, we want to pray according to your will, Lord, and that you will throw the doors open and throw opportunities open where we've scoured, we've looked. But Lord, you know that there's a place waiting for us. We want to proclaim that right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, so becoming a model people, a model church, and a model church is only made up of model people. You know, we what is the church? It's just a bunch of people and who represent God and walking in the Lord Jesus. And then in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, Paul says as well, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And so... We should, our children especially, look to us for being an example of how we live our lives. I've got three older sons in their 30s. We're grandparents now, and our boys have never been able to fault us in the way, maybe here and there, But in general, they said to their own mouths, you live lives for God. And that's lovely when your own family who's lived in your house can say something like that. And they said to us, you're the same people that guys see on church on Sunday as you are at home. And because we meet so many guys who are Christians, they come in here and they put on a face. They had a big, you know, things are going, and then when they go out the door, they become different people, especially business people. I was in the marketplace for 24 years. And you see business people here, yeah, they're all singing, worshiping God, go out, back to brutal businessman, you know. You mess with me, and it's very aggressive, and just language changes, and style, posture, everything changes. It's almost like there's two different lives that you're living. And I don't think we need to be like that in order to achieve in the business world. We don't become like the world to be like to do well in the world. God blesses us. He provides and cares for us as we serve Him according to His ways. So let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Good church, these Thessalonian guys. And just finishing off, in 1 Thessalonians 1 there, the last part says, you've become known and that, and you guys have become known. We talk about you back in Cape Town. This church seems to just be, it seems to be like a life on it, and God's taking it somewhere. And as people are, you know, you see the new guys joining, and I think God wants to add many, many more people. And as I was sharing with some of the guys last night, don't say, I want to just be a part of a small church. You meet guys like that. I just want to be part of a small church. I don't like big church. I don't like crowds. Now we have communities. Most of your church life should be done through your community. That's looking after, caring for one another. That's the heartbeat of our churches, is the community life, not the Sunday meetings. Sunday, as I said earlier, is a time of coming together collectively in our gifting and to be equipped for going out the door and living. This is an equipping time to go out there and live. This is not the peak of your week. That we would really understand what is church really about. And you've probably heard Acts 2:42 over and over of how the early church did life. And that is our dream. We believe God has called us to live where we live amongst one another's homes. We go and visit in each other's homes. We just phone, I'm coming around for coffee. Most people would enjoy that. But we also, prim and proper, Western culture does not reflect Christianity well. I've got to be honest, eh? It's very individualistic. It's me, my little family, my borders, my walls. Don't come into my space. I'll taser you or set the dogs on you. And so as Christians, we are fighting against the values of this world. We live by totally different values. Our values are not of this world. Our ways are not of this world. Our kingdom we're building is not of this world. It's Jesus' kingdom, which is so different. It lives so differently. It's self-sacrificial. If someone knocks on your door and you're watching the World Cup rugby final, and this guy hates rugby, and what are you going to do? Oh, no. Come back later. This may be funny, but actually it's serious. If that guy just needs your help, or just wants you to come and just pour out his heart to you, I mean, really, the Rugby World Cup, and South Africa's in it. And it's like 5 minutes from the end, and we're ahead by 1 point. And a guy knocks on your door. You're going to have half the church here next week. They don't want to be part of this church. And I'm serious. How precious are people to you? How much will that Rugby World Cup count into eternity? Really. It's about people. It's about this. Jesus laid down his life to serve us. Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So he's laid down his life that we might serve one another and be self-sacrificial in our lives. Present your bodies as living sacrifices, Romans 12. We're living sacrifices. Whilst we are alive, there's a sacrificial living of giving of ourselves so that you can do better. Consider others better than yourselves. And do we do that? You know, that's so anti-world. The world is, hey, look after number one, you. Protect yourself, you know. I don't need this in my life. You probably do. Now, how many times do you hear that saying? I don't need this oak in my life. No, you do. You need him to get breakthrough in your life of the problem that you're probably facing. It's so counterculture, folks. So counterculture. In fact, the African folk, we are Africans as well, but let's talk about Black Africa. They probably live Christianity in the natural more than we do. in our living. They share everything. I used to work with Zulus mostly in my life. And when I'd promote a guy into a management position, he wouldn't think, hey, I've got more money, I can go buy a new car. He'd think, gee, I can help my buddies. Not even a Christian. I can help all the other guys now. It's very much us. They think us. Nelson Mandela, I read his book, The Long Walk to Freedom. He said, I had 10 mothers. I lived in a village where the village raised me. Now, we don't live a village lifestyle, but I think we should aim for some of that, where we trust each other with our children. I know it's a very scary time right now with children and things like that. I'm a grandparent, and I'm very protective of my granddaughters. But at the same time, there's got to be an element of, let's... Because the world says, now, don't trust. Don't trust. Don't trust anybody. The teacher helped kidnap that little girl now. It was known to the family. So straight away, what happens? One example becomes now practice for us. And we can't allow that. It's terrible what happened. But the fact is, we've got to build trust and relationships with each other, with wisdom. With wisdom, guys. When Audrey said, when we were praying for her, she mentioned, reminded me of her name. I paused there because I asked Jenny to put my hand on her. Put her hand on Audrey so I can put my hand on Jenny's hand. Just a witness, Russell, idiosyncrasy. It's hot, women are wearing shorter dress tops and stuff. I had nowhere to put my hand on Audrey, so I said, Jenny, put your hand there, and I'll put my hand on your hand. Just safeguards that we can put in place so we don't have moral failure in this time. We want to be a model church. How much moral failure is taking place? Bill Hybels, in the press, failed totally as a leader, out of leadership. Big name in the world of Christianity. Because of sexual indiscretions that he got involved in. And Jenny will tell you how I live my life. It's totally transparent. My phone is always there. Anybody can look at my phone. There's nothing there that's darkness. She knows, we trust each other. We've been married 37 years now. Total trust in how we live our lives. Don't we like, where you been? No, where you been? It's like, in fact, my life is pretty out there. So she knows where I am all the time, without a little GP tracking device on me. When we got married, we just said, the word divorce doesn't exist. We will not use it, even in the heat of battle. It's finished. We did a marriage course once. I remember this one guy saying, so you've never had to sleep on the couch? No. Because the Bible says you sort out your problems. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. So, sorry? Unless you're hosting. Yeah, okay. Well, we both sleep on the couch then. Yeah. But we call to model something. I can say with clear conscience, I know I fail. I know I'm weak. I know I've got faults. I'm sure you're all aware more than anybody of your own failings and faults. I hope you are, anyhow, that you're not bluffing yourself and deceived. And I'm sure I'm deceived in some areas, still. But I would say that there's a spiritual maturity that God's built into me through a lot of pain and hardship and people having to speak to my life and address me on things where I was had blind spots and I couldn't see it. And I know there's going to still be more times in my life where people have to speak into my life and address me on things and say, hey, you need to sharpen up there, change there. Oh, you're where you like this, you do that. So all these things, it's a process. We grow in continuously to the day we die. A lot of old people, I've heard older folks say sometimes, no, I don't need this accountability thing. That's for the young folk, Really? So we need it more than the young folk, I reckon. Because you get a lot of gray-haired people who are still actually very immature. Because they never opened up their lives and been accountable. They said, no, nobody will tell me how to live my life. And so what happens? They've been Christians 40 years, but they've just done year one 40 times. It's gone around. They think they're mature now. They've got gray. They've been church. I know that word better than you, sonny boy. And they may know the word. You can have all the knowledge you like. But if it's not implemented, I've got this saying. I wonder if Henry can still remember it. It's called RAT. Revelation, Application, Transformation. So we're living in a church era of revelation. Tell me something new and amazing. Amaze me with your word, with the word. Weren't you amazed by what he preached? Oh, it's amazing. Phenomenal. Hadn't seen that. Walk out, no application. Result, no transformation. And we call it to be transformed by the word of God, not to become full of head knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, love builds up. And God wants us to be built up and become mature Christians. He says that. The Ephesians 4 giftings of apostle, pastor, prophet, teacher, evangelist, the Bible says are there two things, to bring us to bring unity and to bring us into maturity. That's the whole purpose of their gifting. I'm a foul pastor, apparently, on an apostolic team. And My gifting is purely to build you up in through the type of gifting that I have. If a prophet was here or another fivefold ministry gifting, they would bring a totally different aspect of God to you, hopefully the same basic truth, but the truth they're bringing in is to bring you into a place of transformation. If you're still the same in 1 year's time, you haven't grown. You haven't applied the word of God. You haven't been open to God changing you. I can remember people saying to me, how come your leader's always going to the front for prayer after a meeting like a Sunday? Surely are their lives so messed up? They should be together if they're leaders. No, they lead. That's why they're leaders, because they're so eager to make right with God. They're so desperate. Lord, is there 1% I need to change? I'm in the front of the church. God, change me. Pray for me. I need help. No, I've been around for how long? You know, I'm mature. I don't need prayer. Let the lighties, let the youngsters go up. They're mature, the babies. And then they stay babies themselves. They don't realize it, though. And the church doesn't grow. And the church is not effective. And George remains the same, not touched for God. And God wants model churches to rise up and impact George. That's how people change. You can have government laws. You can put more police in the streets. You've got to change. The country's changed from inside. When they've had revivals, the Welsh revivals, the Scottish Hebrides revivals, they shut down the police stations. They didn't have to bring in more cops and more laws. They had to get rid of the cops because there was no crime. People were clinging to lampposts, crying out to God, screaming, God, forgive me, a sinner. Not a nice message you want to hear today. You want to hear, bless me, Lord. And the Lord says, no, when I'm looking for a holy people, a holy people. There's always been revival when holiness has come. Not with slackness and sloppiness and mushy grace. Grace is there to empower us to overcome sin. But now grace is only seen as mercy. No, you can sin. God just loves you, man. He's just merciful. Oh, thank God for mercy. I love it. He's slow to anger, abounding in love. Doesn't treat our sins as we deserve, but he's a holy God. We're going to find out what our holy God is one day on that day of judgment. We're going to be shocked at the holiness of God. The elders fall down, terrified. There's like an awe of who God is. We've lost that awe. Lost that awe of him. Calling us to be more in the Lord Jesus. I better land, eh? Even the tough South Africans are struggling now. I better land there. Okay. Can I just give the one scripture? Is it in 1 Thessalonians 4:2? Let's just finish with that scripture. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 2. Okay, let's start from verse 1, sorry. Finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God. And hopefully I'm doing that this morning. I'm instructing you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. Okay? And he actually says, if we know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to instruct you in the word of God this morning, not my opinion, not Josh Jen's values, as godly values of what God is saying. The Lord's given us authority this morning to awaken us as the body of Christ into more. And I want to ask you to, let's maybe just have a time of prayer. I know the Durbanville guys would love just to pray with you. They're coming in as equals, brothers and sisters. Just to come and see what God wants to say. Even we stir them up prophetically to bring prophetic words. So I would encourage you guys to position yourself well this morning. Don't be in a hurry to go. You can rush out if you want, but I'd encourage you not to. I encourage you to push in just a few more minutes with the Lord, as I believe he wants to put his finger on something. Sorry, this man here, what's his name? What's your name, please? Sorry, Jean. And your sorry? Pam. The Lord has highlighted me to you guys during worship as well. I just feel that that the Lord's put something on you as well, and there's an authority that God's given you, I think you're a pioneer in things, I think there's a little bit of disillusionment, but so you can correct me if I'm wrong later. Give what I believe the Lord's saying. But I think in some ways you've been tested, and sometimes things haven't always gone out the way you thought they would go. And I also want to encourage you, I want to bring more words of encouragement to you this morning, that the Lord wants you to fully back on track. He wants you back in the flow again. If I'm wrong, please correct me later, but I really believe God's calling you to realign back onto him hard, hard, harder than you ever did before. I think you served God well, but I think God's just saying, okay, I'm not taking you up another level now. You've been content with it up to now, but God's almost like a discontentness is going to come in you if you carry on like that. And I think God wants you to be hungry and thirsty at this time. Hungry and thirsty. There's been distractions, but God says, no, you do focus now on me. Turn the binoculars, get them focused, because I really seriously, I'm trying to pick up the heart of God for you, but I really believe God's calling you and stirring you into more. I'm not quite sure exactly what that is, so I want to say it, but I really believe that this God's got plans and purposes. He wants to reveal to you, which you haven't fully seen at this stage. I think there's been a stirring in your heart for something. You know there's something, but you're not quite sure what it's going to look like. But I think God will reveal it. As you step in, take one step, he's going to start showing himself and revealing. But you must take that first step. If you don't take it, you'll remain where you are. But if you take it, I believe God's got incredible things, not for you, but for his kingdom. But there's a desire in you to serve God, which I think God wants to awaken and stir up in you this morning. So trust that helps. Let's all stand. You've been sitting patiently. Well done. I forgot to ask the Durbanville guys to come here. They've come just to serve you and to pray for you. And so let's just be open to that. So if you feel that the Lord's put his finger on anything, it may not have been something I said this morning, but God may have just spoken to you about something that you've got to shift and adjust in. Or perhaps you just want prayer this morning. You just need prayer. The guys are here to pray. Margot, yeah, come, Chris. And if any of the elders can come and help me pray as well. But I'd encourage you guys, let's just push another few more minutes and ask the Lord just to take us. We don't want this just to be a time. We want this to be a time of going forward and advancing the kingdom in our own lives. So let's do that, shall we? You want to, guys, want to just form a line, if you don't mind, stand and face the guys. Be brave. Be strong and courageous. They've been picking up in God as we've been going around. So, yeah. Who's going to be the first to come forward and just ask for prayer? We're here to serve. Here's a leader. Thank you, Jesus.
I just want you guys to have a look at David here. I just felt him, obviously we stayed with David down last night, and I felt the Lord say that he's a brother in the house, he's a son in your house. To look at David, do not think of David as in whoever else, but to look at him as David, my brother. I don't know why, but I just felt like God highlighted him for me specifically and say, there's a son in the house. Love him as he loves. This man has a big heart for people. And he might be young, but he's got a big heart.
Squished here. Maybe we can just pack up the front row, if you don't mind, move the chairs to the sides and create a bit of space.